Well, I want to get into the Word this morning, and I'm going to talk to you this morning, and I hope that I can just cause you to remember and cause a reality check to come to you today. I just wanted to ask you a question. It's something, listen, this sermon is something that I brought, and it's always been one of the favorite Christmas sermons I've ever brought. Maybe you can't even remember it. I couldn't find the notes, of course, but it's been in my heart ever since I brought it. Most Christmas and Easter messages I can remember that I brought. But it was, what if there were no Christmas? And I just want you to think about, what if there wasn't a Christmas? Well, you know, we know that it wasn't called, this was Christmas. I just want to say right here, this is Christmas, okay? So every time I say Christmas, you think this. What if this nativity scene, I said this to you last week, but you and I are familiar with this scene. Though we weren't there, I mean, it's plastered everywhere, wherever you go, and we're thankful for that. And I just read a little something this morning, and the same thing happened last year. I think it was in Washington, D.C., there was a big nativity set up, and somebody put a satanic symbol next to it, and a Satan with yellow eyes, and it all lit up right next to it. Last year, they let it stay, and nobody bothered it. But this year, last night, it was totally destroyed. Somebody said, uh-uh, you're not going to put that by the nativity. And they took it out. So we're so used to this scene, but think about it, church. If there was no Christmas, if there were no Christmas, we would still be in B.C. And we wouldn't have life as we know it today. We would still be living under the law of Moses. We would still be back there paying for our sins with great punishment and being stoned to death possibly. But I want you to turn back to Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament before you get into the New Testament. And these people, all through the Old Testament, they had been prophesied to that the king would be born as a baby and they would find him lying in a manger. I brought you the prophecies and fulfillments a couple of weeks ago. But today, as we look at this, I'm going to tell you life would have not been good for us there. There would be no Christians. There would be no church. There would be no body. The body of Christ wouldn't be there because Christ wouldn't have been born. So he would be nowhere around. So I want to show you in Malachi chapter 3. Before I say that, look. How many has a hard copy Bible? You've got a Bible with pages. All right, look between the New Testament and the Old Testament. Okay, here's what my Bible has, and this is a New King James. Between the Old and the New Testament, I have an empty page. And then here it says the New Testament. And then, and I'm glad this is here. And then there's another empty page. Do you know between the old and the new, this was really it? There was nothing? For over 400 years, God spoke to no one. No one heard from God. Not a priest, not a prophet, not a king. And that's who God spoke to in those days. No, you and I, we get to listen to God. We get to hear his voice. We get to be led by the Spirit. In those days, you weren't even going to hear his voice because he wasn't going to talk to you. He was going to speak to the kings, the priests, and the prophets. And I'm sure glad I didn't live in B.C. See, he chose us to live up here in this generation. But this is the way it was. In fact, I'm going to read to you this morning the Israelites were God's chosen people, and he loved them so much, and he blessed them over and over and over, and they would sin, and they'd go after idols, and they would turn their back on him, and act like he wasn't the one that brought them through Egypt's, out of Egypt's bondage. You didn't bring us through the Red Sea. It was that calf, and they made a golden calf, and they worshiped that. And God would get so mad at them, and he would threaten, I'm going to, like a mama. I'm going to pour my wrath out on you and destroy every one of you. And Moses would say, oh, God, please don't. Please, please don't. Because Egypt and Pharaoh will look and say, look, God couldn't handle them. And then God would say, okay. And even in the Old Testament, he would give mercy. And he gave them mercy, and he didn't destroy them. But you know, if you keep talking to someone, a husband, a wife, a child, and you kept telling them over and over and over and over and over what's going to happen, and they say, okay, I'm not going to do it again. And then it happens again, and it happens again. And then you think they got it. And the Bible says those kind of people are ever seeing the light but walk in darkness. Or they ever hear it, but they won't walk in the light. So there came a point, and I'm not going to belabor this because I want to move on. But there came a point, and I'll read it to you, at the end of the book where God had it. And he said, you guys have done this for your last time. Though he knew he was going to send a Savior, he knew he had to do something else because the law, at this point, they got tired of it. And they quit giving sacrifices, and they may have given an old sheep with all kinds of hurts on it and cuts on it, and they would sacrifice that. Well, they knew they didn't sacrifice a sheep or a lamb like that. They sacrificed a perfect lamb. It had to be perfect, not a blemish. And they quit doing that. And they begin to hold back and not even giving their offerings. They didn't want to make sacrifices anymore. So they got real lazy. They started worshiping idols. All right, I'll read it. But with that said, let me finish here. There were 400 years before, 400 years here, between the Old Testament and the New. Most of you know that. 400 years of silence. There were no prophecies. No one prophesied. God did not speak for 400 years. You think you get the silent treatment sometime? 400 years, that's a few generations. How discouraging could that be? All right, let's take a look at that last page before we go into the New Testament, verse 13. Look what God is saying to these people. He said, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, he says, oh, just let me tell you. You have said it is useless to serve God. And what profit is it that we have? What profit is it that we have kept? We've kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts. So now we call the proud blessed and those who do wickedness are raised up. Well, they even tempt God and go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke one to another and the Lord listened. And he heard them, and so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord, who meditate on his name. There's a book of remembrance written, and our names are in it, who love him and serve him. And when he hears you talking about him with your relative or your friend or at work, guess what? Your name goes down in his book of remembrance. He says, I remember that. And he loves it when we talk about him. But he was pretty upset at these people. He said, you're calling good evil and evil good, and you've talked harshly about me. You're saying, what good does it do to serve the Lord? What good does it do? And God said, I heard that too. All right, so let's move on. Oh, look at this. It's so beautiful, and I knew I'd get caught up in this, and I don't want to stay here too long, but, oh, it's so beautiful. Look at verse 17. What? The people I just read to you about, those who fear the Lord, whose names are written down in the book of promise. He said, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. And on that day, I will make them my jewels. I'll make you diamonds and rubies and topaz, emeralds. That's what I'll do to you. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Let me tell you something, folks. We are to that point right now where people are going to observe. You may be in a restaurant or at Target or at the bank, and this is the time where God says, oh, I will have them discern right from wrong, and I will have them see the difference between you and the world itself. There will be a big difference. All right? Chapter 4, verse 1. Look at this. Now, here's the prophecy. Okay, we're getting real close to the end of this book. I mean, this is the very last words. I'm not going to read them all, but you read this when you get home. Read the whole thing. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, those who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day is coming, shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. He said, no, I have healing in my wings for you. They were singing, Mary, did you know? They said, the dumb will talk. The crippled will walk. The deaf will hear. The dead will rise. And you know, that's a given. That's going to happen. We've seen this many miracles. That, oh, it's coming and it's upon us. We're at the end of the book. I mean, we've already started 2,000 years past this page into the New Testament. And I'm sure glad that I wasn't there on those 400 years. Thank you, Jesus. Now look, he does give warning here in chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I'll send my messenger, and he'll prepare the way before me. Jesus is actually speaking here. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. One more word before we leave this thought. Go back to chapter 4, Kathy, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. I don't want this earth to be struck with a curse. And he said, it won't be, because so many of you love me. So many of you serve me. But he said, I need to do a work in the end, because sons turn against their fathers, fathers against the sons, and the same with the mothers, and families are torn apart by this satanic influence. It's not your baby. It's a satanic influence. But when it gets to that, you don't know what to do about it except separate. And there's a few of you in here that I can remember telling me, Pastor, they've not come around. I've not talked to them in a long time. But God said, no, no, no. The day is upon us where I'll turn all that back around. And I'll dads and sons here, mom and sons here. And I'll fix it all for you. I promise. It'll all work. Okay, so I'm going to stop right there and let you know they were looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, When this happened, Jesus the Savior came to us. Isaiah said, a child is born and a son is given. So when this happened, he came to us. The angels announced it. He came to us. But when he comes again, like this is talking about, the second coming, this even skipped this, and they hadn't even gotten to this yet. But it did say that I'll send the messenger before you, John, and he'll prepare the way for the baby to come. And he did that. Everything God says, it just lines up and fills in the gap. Everything happens just like he said. So he said, I'll send a John to prepare the way for this baby to grow up. But then it jumps all the way down years before and says, oh, but there's something more coming. He'll be coming from heaven. This time when he comes, he will be coming for us. Not to us. He's coming for us to pick us up and take us away with him. Amen? All right, today, what's that got to do with Christmas? I'll get there, okay? I'll get there. Just let me follow me, okay? All right. But what if there were no Christmas? What if there wasn't? Okay? This law, the covenant law in the book of Hebrews, if you can pull up Hebrews 8:13, it had to pass away. The law had to pass away before the new covenant came, before the new promises came. And so aren't you glad you got the new covenant, the new promise? All right. Look at this. In Hebrews 8:13, in that he says a new covenant, he's made the first one, or the law of Moses, obsolete. That means it's old-fashioned now. It's over. He's made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So I'm putting that aside, and that old covenant's passing away. Okay, I'm just going to put this out there. This is Paulette 3:17. Okay, it's not the word. It's not historical. The word doesn't say it. But according to that, if the law, the old King James says, if the old law could wax old, means grow old and pass away, could the message of grace? It looks like grace is being pushed to the max. Do you hear me this morning? It looks like grace. Well, I can do this because I'm covered by grace. I get forgiveness. We have mercy. Well, if we lived in the Old Testament, we wouldn't have mercy or grace. If there were no Christmas, there would be no grace, there would be no mercy. So when grace is ready to fade away, now see, when the law was ready to be obsolete and fade away, God let it. He had a bird in a bush, and that was the New Testament. That was the Christ child, okay? There would be no Easter if there was no Christmas. You can't have Christmas without, you can have Easter, but you couldn't have Easter without Christmas first. So we had to get here first. But we have mercy and we have grace. But if the law faded away, passed away, couldn't grace fade away? Well, there's not a bird in the bush for this. The next move, according to the word of the Lord, is the coming of the Lord. And I believe he's coming sooner than any of us think. And when we have, the Bible tells us, don't abuse grace. I don't want to say it's too late. Too late. I think sometimes it's already been abused over and over. But our God is so gracious and so kind. But it says his grace will not always stride with man. One of these days, it'll be like the law. But the next move, amen, is the coming of the Lord. Now, had Jesus not been born, there wouldn't be any Christians. We wouldn't have this. If he hadn't been born, you wouldn't have a Bible on your lap. You wouldn't have the Bible on your phone. There wouldn't be one. Because we wouldn't even have a Savior. If it wasn't for Christmas, there would be no Savior of the world. There would be no mercy. There'd be no grace. There would be no Bible because the disciples wouldn't have had anyone to follow. There would have been no disciples without Christmas. They followed him and the word came to them. The inspiration of God came through them and they wrote this down. And I'm so thankful we have it. But if we had lived before and he didn't come, we wouldn't have any of it. And the body of Christ, I mean, it wouldn't be nowhere around. We wouldn't even have a church. There would still be the old synagogues and the temple to go to. You men would still be walking around with little curly-cued sideburns. And an old black hat, long coat, 20 kids. That's what you'd have. And women, Lord knows where we would be. All I know, you couldn't speak a word. You women couldn't prophesy. You'd have to walk behind your husband. You still go to Israel today and you see those rabbis? They got a there's this old rabbi with his hat and his little curly cues, because, boy, he's going to keep that law. He's got a little, his wife first, and then he's got a little line of ducks behind him, just following after him. From about 5 years, maybe 2 years old to 50. But they're still following him around. But it'd be no life as we know it, I'll tell you this. And as I was bringing this together, I was thinking, we wouldn't have had Emmanuel. His name is God with us. We wouldn't have Emmanuel. We wouldn't have the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself living within us, if there were no Christmas. And to think somebody would not celebrate Christmas is unbelievable to me. But that's because they must not know him. Like the Jehovah's Witness man I talked to. No, we know better. We know better. We know better. No, you don't know better. He's mighty. And he so deserves celebrating. You say, well, where did it didn't even come until 300 years after the Nativity? I know it didn't. Christmas was born. When those angels stood up in the sky and the star appeared and the angel spoke down peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. They never forgot that. And they knew it was priceless. And they knew it was the Christ child. And wise men came from the Far East. Took them 2 years to get there, riding across the Sahara Desert. Took them a long time. All those little shepherds, they just ran down there, but they weren't too far from the Bethlehem field. But there was not, see, they didn't celebrate now the feast and the festivals like they did before, because God says your festivities, your festivals, and your special days have made me weary. He said, you have wearied me with all that. And so they didn't do that, but they did remember, and they celebrated in a way with their food and their drinks, but they didn't set apart a time to do this until 300 years after. And then the Catholic Church, shame on the Christians, the Catholic Church said this. Hey, you spend all this time celebrating the dead saints. When a saint dies, you celebrate them. And so they called it Christ Mass. Christ Mass. So they have Mass, communion service, just like us. Christ Mass. That's what the word Christmas means. But there would be no Christ Mass if it wasn't for him. So I feel very, very free, and I feel very good to bring this message to you today and ask you, what would we do if there were no Christmas? Think about it, church. There'd be no forgiveness. Your sins wouldn't be forgiven except one time a year. And then some priest would have to go down to the tabernacle and sacrifice a lamb for you. How about that indescribable gift that God spoke about? A few weeks ago, I ministered that. Jesus called it himself, or God called it himself, that unspeakable gift. And then the New King James calls it the indescribable gift, because you can't describe him. You can't describe everything that he has given to you and me. I mean, when he went away, he left us so much to be able to get through this life that's not easy. Sometimes it's just not easy, and you guys know it. You love God with all your heart, but the Bible says it rains on both the just and the unjust. Just because we serve God doesn't mean we don't go through any issues, believe me. But it does mean when we do, we have Emmanuel within us. And we have the Holy Spirit within us. And to think there would be no, without Christmas, there would be no indescribable gift, no unspeakable gift. And guess what? There would be no eternal life. How would you like to just live? Now, I know we're all going to die, as David said. But how would you like for that to be done? Or your body to be held somewhere out in paradise as a captive? No. we have eternal life. And then to think there'd be no spiritual gifts. We wouldn't have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. You wouldn't have exhortation. You wouldn't ever encourage people. Oh, you say, yeah, but they did in the Old Testament. Yeah, they did. The Elijahs and the prophets, Moses and Daniel and the great kings and the priests. Oh, yeah, Aaron. Yeah. They could say what they wanted, but you and I couldn't if there was no Christmas. But there's times where you send each other a devotional. You send each other a good word. You encourage people. You live in your own home where you're free to have Christian music and watch Christian movies or whatever is there. I don't know. I'm just glad we don't have to live without the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of miracles and signs and wonders and those things that the Bible says are truly coming, even the dead to be raised. Can you imagine what the world would be? Listen, can you imagine what it would be without the fruits of the Spirit? Now, if I said, look, church, I want you to line up over here if you want the gifts of the Spirit. But if you want the fruits of the Spirit, line up over here. Well, I can tell you right now, I believe that this lineup would be probably everybody to jump over here to get all the gifts. I want to heal people. I want to see them free. I want to preach. I want to teach. I want to be a prophet. I want to be an apostle. But I'm going to tell you, I think I'd rather get right here any day of the week. Could we look at that list of, let me show you them real quick before we go on. This is not a long sermon, don't worry. You say it already is. No, look, too good to go too fast. All right, look at Galatians 5:22. I can't even imagine an earth without the fruits of the Spirit. But if you're not caught up in the rapture with us when we go away for 7 years to be with Jesus, if you don't go, you're going to live in a world without the fruit. You will. You'll live here without them. Galatians 5:22. Here's the fruit of the Spirit that you and I get to have in the year AD. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. How would you like to live in a world where there was no love or peace or joy or gentleness or kindness? Goodness, my goodness, I wouldn't want to live without it. But just to think there's many people that you work with and in our families that don't want to serve the Lord. They refuse to accept Jesus as Lord. They refuse to do that, and it's a very serious thing. We just read it at the last part of Malachi. And that's when God just shut it up. And we don't want that. He is coming soon for us. It's very, very scary to think of someone that would live without him. Okay, look at the works of the flesh, and I'll be done soon. Look, let me list the works of the flesh. And they were all over BC, all over. And sometimes they show up. They show up here, and Paul was addressing it. Galatians 5:19. What's the works of the, we just read the fruit of the Spirit, but here's the works of the flesh. So if any of these are rising up in you, you will know it's your flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Everybody can see it. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, that means causing discord, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. That means those little sins that aren't listed, that you're always kind of defending sometimes. You'll have God's people sometimes defending. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, Pastor. It doesn't say it in the Bible. Well, it gives you and such like. And those things fall under that. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things, look at this, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It just won't happen. All right. So without Christmas, what do we got? No salvation. No one would be saved without Christmas. We wouldn't be adopted. The reason that you and I sit here today and the Nazarene church is full, I'm sure, and the believers church, why? Because we're the family of God, and he adopted us into his family. He adopted us. But if we lived in BC before Christ and there was no Christmas, let me tell you, we would be of all people most miserable, because we would have no spiritual family. I told somebody the other day, and you guys say it all the time, you know, sometimes your church family can be closer than your outer family or extended family. Because you've been adopted, you're adopted, we're all adopted by the same Father. And there would be no divine healings, there would be no miracles. We'd have no reason to pray for anyone, because you're not going to get healed unless a priest comes along, a high priest like Moses or Aaron, or a prophet like Elijah, or a king. No, there wouldn't be any healings. There would be no anointings. Every now and then, the anointing will just come on you. You know how it does. You'll be talking to somebody at work, and suddenly you feel something, and you know something, and you minister to them, and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? The anointing of God on your life. That's where it came from. It was just him, and he reached down to you, and we're all called of God. You know, if we have salvation, we're all called of him. And there wouldn't be any perfect gifts. He said, oh, I send out perfect gifts from above. Mine are perfect. Ask him about those. Now, they only came through those people, but here they come through Jesus. And Jesus said, oh, I give you gifts, and I anoint my followers. Remember last week it says he received gifts from God, and then he gave gifts to man. He received gifts from God, and he gave gifts to man. Hallelujah. So I'm glad we live down here and not back there. Now, during the season, they were singing the first Noel. The angels did sing. They came in the sky and they announced, Christmas is here. Here's Mr. Christmas right here. He's right here. And I'm telling you, if anything deserves celebrating, it's what happened at Christmas. Hallelujah. And then after that, you're going to celebrate Easter. 50 days immediately after. 50 days exactly after. But each one of us, listen to this, without Christmas, we'd have no hope of him coming back. He wouldn't come back because he would have never been born. God wouldn't have sent the son to us, a child. He wouldn't have given him to us. So we would have had nothing really to look forward to. They were still looking forward to him coming here, but they didn't really know what he was or what he was about. But you and I know, because we've got to be with him our entire lives or ever since you've been saved. So you know a lot about him. You know a lot about his goodness. And I want to say this, most of you know this, but we all have our own mansion in heaven. Now, we're only going to be there 7 years. When Jesus comes to get us, all hell will break loose down here on earth, especially the first 3.5 years is going to be bad enough. But after 3.5 years, it'll be peace on earth, because they'll think they found the Antichrist. But after 3.5 years, he will be revealed. He will break a contract with the Middle East. And when he does, it is on. I'm telling you, the Bible says that they will run out and they will cry for the rocks to fall upon them. It'll be so bad. But you and I are going to be in heaven with the Lord and the saints, and your loved ones that have gone before you will be with all of them. We'll be having a marriage supper of the Lamb, where he gives us our rewards and awards and our crowns. When you see the word crown, it means rewards. And the Bible says this in John chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus said this about your mansion, our home. It's really amazing. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. See, he's working on that place for us now. But I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Because he loves us, he says, I want you with me. Whew, we don't even know what that entails, our own place. All I know is it's awesome. But he said, it's in my Father's house. You say, how could the Father have a house that big? Well, heaven's his house, in my Father's house. And then when the new heavens and new earth come down, well, he'll just dwell there in Jerusalem. That's his city. And then we'll go there to see him. So you're going to Jerusalem, where you know it or not, you will. But at the end of the 7 years, we'll come back. I don't want to get lost right here in all this. But we will come back and dwell on this earth for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign. And we will come back here, and Satan will be gone. He'll be locked up for that 1,000 years. He'll be totally done away with. And it will be an absolute paradise for us. The Garden of Eden has nothing on what you and I are going to experience after the rapture of the church and we come back. And after that 1,000 years, then that's when the new heavens and the new earth comes down and God sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem. And oh my goodness, church, there we go. And here's what Jesus said. Listen, let me read to you John 14:27. Jesus told his disciples he's going away on a cloud. And then the angel, these angels, a lot of angelic activity. And the angel said, they're all standing there. And one day Jesus had came up from the grave. And he went away. But he had already shown himself alive to over 400 people. And when he went away, the angel parted the clouds. And he went up. And the angel of the Lord said to these men, as you see him go, you will see him return. And when Jesus comes back, he will return in the clouds. You can read that in the book of Revelation. When he comes back, he will come back just the way he left. He said, I'll come back in clouds and I'll pick my people up. Oh, yeah. He said, I wouldn't have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning those that are asleep. Woo, the dead in Christ arise first. And then those who are alive and remain will be what? Listen, they will be what? They'll be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and will forever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, here's what he left us. We wouldn't have any of this. We would have no future. We would not have the future of heaven. We wouldn't have a mansion. We wouldn't have the future of a millennial reign. We wouldn't have the future of a new heavens and a new earth. But Jesus said, as long as you guys are down here, he's talking to his disciples and to you and me, those who are far off. John 14:27, please. Jesus told his disciples, peace, same peace that the angels talked about to the shepherds. Peace I leave with you. He says this, is my peace. My peace. I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. I'm not giving you the world's peace because they don't have any. The only peace that you can gather out of this world is a substitute peace. Now, you might get it through drugs or alcohol or another person or illicit this and illicit that. Maybe. But Jesus said, I'm not giving you that kind of peace that the world gives. No, I'm giving you my peace. So let not your heart be troubled, and don't you dare let it be afraid. That's why Melissa and Kelly didn't have to be afraid this morning when the car caught on fire. Well, the insurance will fix it. And if it totaled it, we'll get a new one. So it all works together for good. See, that's the kind of peace that Jesus gives. When your loved one passes, Miss Kathy Hatfield's here today. Her mama passed last week. She said to me, Pastor, I think I feel more peace right now than I ever have. You know what that is? It's his. It's his peace. When Rick and Jamie died, I had people come to my, a doctor call me on the phone And he says, hey, do you need anything? I said, like what? And he said, well, do you need a depressant or anything? And I said, no, doctor, I don't need anything. Never took anything. What is that? That's called the peace of Jesus. But see, if Christmas had, if there never were a Christmas, we wouldn't have any of that. You wouldn't have any peace to help you get through what you go through. And I'll just tell you, church, we're all going to go through. So he gave us a whole lot of things to keep us until his second coming. He came the first time, but he's coming again. Amen. Now, the first time he came to us, but the next time he's going to come for us. So I just tell you, as old Shirley Jones used to tell us, you stay on ready. Amen? Stay on ready. Stand to your feet with me. Oh, yes, Lord. If there were no Christmas, I don't even know. I don't even like to think about it. But we wouldn't have anything. I'll tell you that, young Isaiah. We would have absolutely nothing. We wouldn't be celebrating this. John says, I'm not the light, but I came to bear witness of him. And then the Bible says about Jesus, he is light. John said he is a light, but he also said that his life is the light of men. So that's where we get our light. And then Jesus said himself, he said, you are the light of the world. So, Father, we thank you for all you've given to us. Thank you for that awesome peace. Thank you for the joy. And for those that are here this morning and they don't understand what that is, they can. And I pray that you would help someone today. Lord, don't let anyone turn away from you. Lord, I pray that these words that I've spoken this morning, I know it was a lot. And I know we had to talk about the law back there in the Old Testament. Some had never heard that, didn't get it. But I pray that there's some parts up in here in the latter part that everybody received. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his beautiful countenance towards you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, peace in your home, that peace that Jesus gives. And then the joy of the Lord is your strength. You don't have any joy. But the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes, yes.
Peace on your home. Peace in your mind. Peace in your emotions. Peace in your family. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.